I bring greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on behalf of Indian Evangelical Mission to the Gujarati Christian Fellowship. And it's my joy to be here this morning to worship the Lord along with you. And I thank the elders of the church for giving me this opportunity. And I also thank Brother Chris for bringing me here and making this opportunity open for me. And we really praise God for the way that Lord has been with us. I just want to give you a small introduction of myself and my family. This is my wife, Mercy, and we took this photograph 3 years back when we had the Silver Jubilee wedding anniversary. And Can we just move on? As I, if you could look at me, I will keep moving and yeah. Yes. We have three boys. They were like this and keep moving on. And they've grown up like that and yes. Yeah. And they are like this today. And the first one is Charles Wesley. He loves the Lord and he is working as an IT profession, in the IT profession. And he is, the president of Youth Fellowship in the church, very active. And we praise God for his life. And the second one called Santosh Wesley, and he is a drummer. He also is very active in the work in the church, and he is doing his final degree. And the third one is Jonathan Wesley, and he is also a musician. He is in a band which exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, and his aspiration to become a great musician. And this is our family, and continue to pray for us. Let me introduce you. The Indian Evangelical Mission started in 1965. The Lord has raised this mission by Reverend Dr. Theodore Williams, who is no more. He passed away last December, and the Lord laid this burden in his heart, and through which this mission was formed. And in January 15th this year, we completed 45 years. And we praise God for that. And the Lord has given us this great mandate to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to different parts of the country. When you look at our country, we have different challenges in which that God is raising his own people. When you look at IEM, it is a united, unique family. And our missionaries are coming from different states all over from the country. When we meet together, 536 workers and their families, we will be around 1,000 of us. And when we meet together, we speak, we are coming from minimum of 30 different languages. IEM has got a board which administers, and the board members come from different states. Right now we have O.S. Mauro, who is a Kasi. He's please keep on, and I will tell you when to move, and then you can move, please. Yeah, not now. Go back, please. Chairman. Is coming from Kasi background in the northeast side. He's from Shillong right now. We had two chairmen who were from Gujarat. One was Parmar, and then later Madhu Christian, you may know. You know, he was our chairman. And so, you know, it's not a South Indian mission. It is, we have people from every denomination. We have people from, all kinds of denominations, you can see. So it is
For one purpose, we come together. When you look at the country, you know, we had independence in 1947. And yes, please. 1947, afterward, the country was closed for Western missionaries to come. We cannot anymore accept Western missionaries. In that kind of a situation, the Lord raised national missionaries. And today, statistics say that God has raised 40,000 cross-cultural missionaries within our country. Is it not wonderful the Lord is doing? You know, you go to any corner of our country, you will see people who are called as missionaries. They are not whites, they are not from West, they are our own people taking the gospel to our own people. And how is it done? It is done by Indian man, with Indian money, with Indian management. You know, we are very keen on that. The Lord has given us this mandate, and our policy is that every salary of every worker of IEM will be paid by Indian rupees. And the Lord has been so faithful. I was just telling Brother Chris, our budget is 90 million rupees. And we depend on God forever for that. Every year, just before, on the 6th of March, I had the budget committee. And we sat and worked out. And this year it's going to be in the financial year. This is the last month of the financial year as far as India is concerned. And, you know, we are looking toward the next year, and our budget is going to be 90 million rupees. And just depending on the God. We don't have any reserve funds. And the Lord will provide. He has been providing. And so, you know, we have twofold objectives. And one is gospel to every person. The second objective is church among every people group. When you look at our country, it's one of the largest country in the world. And we have 4,635 different kinds of people living in our country. Not in other countries, I mean, only our country alone. You know, we have to take the gospel to everyone. And so, you know, that's our burden. So that is why we want to see church among every community. And so please pray for that. And then, you know, when you look at our objectives, we have two objectives that we are focused on. The first objective is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unevangelized areas in India and abroad, and to plant churches among the unreached people. The second objective is to challenge Indian Christians to realize their responsibility for world evangelization and to recognize their partnership with other Christians in the world in fulfilling this task. So we have two main departments in IEM. One is called church ministries. The other one is called field ministries. Church ministries concentrates on challenging the Christians to get involved in the mission. And field ministries is concentrating on sending missionaries to the unreached part of the country. Next. And, you know, we take the gospel to different kinds of people. Keep on clicking. Different kinds of people. You see, we have different kinds of people. You know, we take the gospel to Tharu, Kurku, Gadaba, Koya, Jarwas. These Jarwas are found in Andamans. There are only about few thousands who are living there. Still very primitive. They have no opportunity to come into the mainstream. And we concentrate on that. Just more. And so in this way, we concentrate on different people groups. Yes. And then, you know, in order to do that, we also are involved in the Bible translation work. You know, there are different, you know, how many languages we speak in our country? 70, okay, that's a good number.
3,670.
Okay, according to the Malayalam Manorama yearbook, it says that we have 1,562 dialects are spoken in India. You know, sometime you can imagine maybe the Tower of Babel was there in our country. And so we had all this. And, you know, we have to reach this country with the word of God. And so we are translating the scripture into 12 different languages. And one other statistic says, 150 languages are waiting, or these people who speak 150 languages are really in dire need of the scripture. And so we are concentrating on multiplying our effort in Bible translation. We are right now doing in 12 languages. We want to increase it by another 4, but we need Bible translators. Bible translators are not, you know, very highly qualified people, ordinary people God uses. If you look at IEM, you know, it's wonderful to see Bible translation work began with ladies, not with men. 3 young ladies committed themselves for Bible translation. And one from Pune, other 2 from Tamil Nadu. And one was concentrating on the language Garasia, which you find in Palanpur area, and into Rajasthan. And they just completed the New Testament, and we have to produce 2 different dialects. That is, one is 2 different scripts. One is in Gujarati script, the other one is Devanagari script for the Rajasthan people. And so that was done by Dinesh and Vicky Patel. Vicky is the one who started earlier, and then Dinesh was married to her, and then both of them completed the Bible translation. And so, you know, the Lord uses just ordinary people to do extraordinary work. If there is one printed literature available among the Garasias, the first literature is the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, that is what we are providing. In the history, if they look back after years, they will see if anyone had taken time to study their language, make a dictionary, and to form the grammar of the language, it was done by IEM missionaries. And so that's the impact that we are making. So pray for the Bible translation work. Next. So we do different kinds of work. Our approach is holistic. We have medical work, we have tribal hostel, and you will see that is Gladys Staines, who is operating the first generator that is we bought for the Ho people. And so we do the medical work, tribal hostel work. And yes. These are certain community development work that we are involved. And, these are I have just told different kind of activities we do. Just to give you an idea of a glimpse of a mission field, what we are doing. Let me take you to Punjab. We work among the Jat, Sikhs and others who are there. They are very responsive to the gospel. What the Lord is doing is unimaginable in Punjab. The Sikhs are coming to know the Lord, and they are very eager to read the Word of God. And we started the ministry about 7 years back. Today we have 7 worshiping churches there. Amen. Yes. So, yeah. So we see that, you know, yes, please. We see that, you know, yes, same thing. Back, please. Okay, that's the Nathana Church when it was opened. You see the Sajadi who is standing there, and it is nice to see, you know, all these women and Sajadi sitting there and worshipping the Lord, and so beautiful. Just on the 3rd of March, I was in Bathinda to do a registration of a small property God has given to us to build a church. You know, that's what the Lord is doing. And we are also one of the biggest villages in Punjab is Maharaj in Bathinda district. In Maharaj, we are going to buy another land and we are working on that. You know, that's what the Lord is doing. Just to give you a glimpse of how it is very responsive. And so, you know, how is it done? It's not very easy, you know. So please pray for different activities, missionary recruitment. We train our missionaries for 9 months and then send them to the mission field. And we have evangelism, we have Bible translation, yes. So different ministries. And then all these are done in a very difficult situation. Sometime in the midst of persecution, with different challenges, what you have heard, what is happening, not only in Odisha, different parts of our country, Karnataka, where we are concentrating in the district of Chitradurga and Davangere, we have problems. And in the midst of that, we see that God is building His church. Yes. So, please pray for the ministries of IEM. Our dream is that every village will have a small worshipping group. Hallelujah. And so that is why we are working on 250 WG. WG means worship group. 250 worship group by 2011. You know, it may not be a big number. It's a very small number. But still we believe that we want to establish quality churches. What is a worshipping group? A worshipping group is comprised of 7 to 10 people who have openly confessed their faith in Jesus Christ through baptism, and they come together regularly to study the Word of God, worship, and witness through fellowship. That is what a worship group. So 7 to 10 people, if they have to be baptized, we may have to concentrate about 10 villages. It may be around 3 to 5,000 people. They meet with them, and among them, few of them come together to worship the Lord. Most of them will not come forward to go through baptism, though they believe on Jesus Christ. It's not easy for them to step forward, you know, publicly to accept Jesus Christ. So, you know, in order to see one worship group, we may have to wait for 3 or 4 years. And so that's the challenge. And so, you know, our next very important need is for more missionaries. For more missionary candidates we need. We give 9 months training. And I want to share with you with much burden that for many years now, we don't have anybody who is coming forward from Gujarat as missionaries. Our young people need to be challenged. Our young people need to step out for the work of the Lord. We are in need of missionaries. And so please pray that we will have more skilled professionals. You know, in our present day situation, we want people who are really skilled and with different gifts. They should come and as missionaries. And so please get, you know, I'm happy to see Patkar here. So if you don't have, you know, if you don't receive IEM magazine, please contact with us. We would be happy to send that to you. Particularly in the middle of the magazine, we give you the praise and prayer items, which will give you the first-hand information and the challenges for which that you can pray every day for IEM. Please remember IEM in your prayers every day. Yes. Let me bring you to the Word of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 28. Luke chapter 24, verse 28. It's a very small verse in the whole passage, but it's a very powerful word. The Lord Jesus said, the risen Lord Jesus said, looking at his disciples, he said, "You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things." Shall we look to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence, to worship you. Lord, we poured our hearts before you. We prayed for America. We prayed for India. We prayed for each one of us. And Lord, we know that you have heard our prayers as community of God, as the body of Christ, as we have poured our heart before you, as we have interceded for the needs, Lord. We know that you have heard us, Lord. Now as we come to your word, we ask you to, Lord, speak to us from your word. Lord, we want your word to minister to our needs, O Lord. Only Holy Spirit, you can minister to us, Lord. We depend on you, O Father. Lord, send us, Lord, with a blessing, receiving your word. And Lord, hearing your voice, speaking to us, Lord. We are not here to listen to a human voice, but we are here to listen to you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves that you will speak to us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for your faithfulness. We give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word witnesses is being used by Luke. He uses in Luke, and we also see that in his second book that Dr. Luke has written is Acts of Apostles. In these two books, we see the word witnesses. And this word is particularly concentrating on the people who profess to be Christians, on the people who profess to be disciples. It's given to them. You know, if I call myself as a believer, I need to be a witness. If you call yourself to be a believer, and you need to be a witness. So that is why in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, yes, chapter 1 verse 8, we see that the word of God is given that you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That means each one of us are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Each one of, whether you like it or not, if you call yourself as a child of God, if you call yourself that you know Jesus Christ, if you call yourself as Christians, we have to be witnesses for Jesus. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege to be witnesses for the Lord. But the question is, what kind of witness we are? I want to take you to another passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, a group of people who had been at the tomb where the body of Jesus Christ was laid. Who are these people? They were officials. They were guarding the tomb. They were soldiers. If one group of people who had really seen the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is these people. Nobody else. Not disciples. Nobody else. They are the only one who really saw with their eyes what had really happened to the tomb where the body of Jesus was kept. And they could have been coming out open in the world to tell about everyone. We saw with our own eyes that stone was removed. There was a big earthquake. There was lightning. And the Lord Jesus risen. They are supposed to say that, is it not? But what did they say? They were in trouble. They went to their officials. They said, "No, this is what happened." The officials said, no, please don't say this to anybody. Lightning, earthquake, moving of the stone, big stone, don't say. And above all, Roman seal has been broken by somebody else. Some other force has broken this government seal. Please don't say this to anybody. We will give you a lot of money. Say that when we were asleep, these disciples, they came and took the body. Who are supposed to be sleeping? The guards. Contrary to their responsibility, they were saying this. So I would like to call them false witnesses. You know, they were counterfeited. They were talking about the risen Lord Jesus, is it not? They were talking about that Jesus was taken away, but they were not really telling the truth. And not only that, I see that they are convenient witnesses. They want to be very careful in their approach. They don't want to take a risk of telling the world, yes, we saw Jesus was risen. And they were cowardly. They were really worried about their job. If they tell the world what really happened, you know, they will lose their job. So it's better not to say about that. Today, our Christianity is filled with this kind of people. Paul is writing about them having a form of godliness but denying its power. We do everything. We go to church, we pray, we give, we do everything. But we really do not experience the power that comes from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, why the gospel is not moving forward, it is because we are filled with false witnesses. I am sad to say this. Mahatma Gandhi, we have given him a name, the father of the nation. He is from which place? Gujarati. I'm sorry to mention this. Okay. He was in England. For what? To do his studies. Barrister. He was attending a strict brethren assembly. In his autobiography, he's writing about that. They were persuading him to accept Jesus. Because of that, he stopped going. He's writing all that. But when he was attending the assembly, he found that the Sermon on the Mount is so beautiful. He took all the teachings of Jesus, and the dearest passage in the Bible for him is the Sermon on the Mount. The song, the hymn that he likes is Lead Kindly Light. It's not my philosophy or my thinking. It is all written there in Delhi Gandhi Museum. You can go and read all this. But he never came out open that he received all these truths from the Word of God, from the Bible. He did not want to expose that the love others like you is from the Bible. Satyagraha is from the Bible. Non-violence is from the Bible. But he didn't want to say that to the world. He was not true witness of the Lord. Oh, how we have to be very careful when we are given a chance that we will not be false witness. But at the same time, I move on to Acts of Apostles, and where I see, you know, there we have faithful witnesses. You know, these disciples were faithful witnesses. Go to chapter 2, where we see they were filled with the gospel, with the Spirit of God. And as they were filled with the Spirit of God, they started speaking in tongues. And as they were started speaking tongues, people who came from different nations, they heard their languages spoken by these people. And some of them said that they had too much of wine, and that is why they are blabbering. In the midst of fun, in the midst of insult, in the midst of people who are making fun out of them, you know, Peter stood boldly, addressing the whole crowd. What did he say? This Jesus, whom you have crucified, he has been raised up, and for which we are witnesses. Faithfulness in the midst of insult. Faithfulness in the midst of challenges. As a witness, each one of us need to stand. And you know, the need of the hour is not degrees or diplomas. People come, I know very well, being in India, I know very well that hundreds of people apply for American visa to come into this country to get degrees. You know, in Christian circle, I'm ashamed. You know, people somehow they want to have a degree from America so that, you know, they want to be so powerful in the ministry. That is not the need. The need is correct spiritual temperature. And you and me are expected to be faithful. Let me move on. You know, the faithful witnesses are not only faithful, they are, you know, they will take every opportunity to share about the love of Christ. What happened in chapter 3? In chapter 3, as Peter and John, they were in the place where on their way to the synagogue, they found the beautiful gate. And in the beautiful gate, there was an ugly man sitting and begging. This lame man was sitting and begging. And Peter and John looked at him. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." What happened? This man received the power and he jumped up. And he praised God and he worshiped the Lord. What we see is a faithful witness will take every opportunity. They make every opportunity to tell about Jesus. Not only that, they will lift the Lord Jesus Christ, not themselves. They will not exalt themselves. They will only give praise. This man who was healed was not praising Peter, but he was praising God. Very important. We are all just to be a channel to lift the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, are we taking spontaneous, are we having the spontaneous, you know, feeling that we have to exploit every opportunity that comes on our way? I was told D.L. Moody, a simple, ordinary man who was trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, whose English was not good. So one young man came up to him and he said, "You have massacred English like me." Okay. And so, you know, when Moody heard this, he said, "Young man, I did whatever that God is asking me to do with my poor English. What are you doing with your good English?" That's the question. God is giving us every opportunity. And are we making every opportunity to share about the love of Christ? Let me move on. And so the faithful witnesses are supposed to be forceful witnesses. What happened? Move on to chapter 4. In chapter 4, what we see is that this Peter and John was put in prison because they did this. The word of God says, when they were in the prison, how many people added to the church? 5,000. Can you read that? Chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 4, I think. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, yes. Look at how the Lord is increasing the believers. It is not when disciples were in comfort zone. When disciples were in the prison, the number is increasing. I want to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, I never say from any pulpit, pray that the persecution in India may stop, the persecution in Gujarat may stop. I never say that, because I see the church growth, the strategy of the church growth, the Spirit of God is at work. Hallelujah. And you know, when there is persecution, thousands of people are added to the kingdom of God. You know, that is what we are experiencing. If you go to our mission field to in Orissa, when Graham Stein and his two sons were burned down, we were sitting and talking with our missionaries because we worked very closely with Graham Stein. And so we asked, should you need a transfer from here to another mission field? Our missionary said, no, we would like to stay back. Because the government, the collector and the police have ordered that no more staying in the villages. We can't stay in the villages, and we are not allowed to go into the villages. So we how to do the ministry? And so, but strangely, the believers, the elders came to Rairangapur where we taught them. We taught them the word of God. They will receive the word of God. They were equipped by the word of God. Every Sunday they will go back and tell the believers. They will teach the believers. The worship service they will conduct. They will do all that. And the church started growing. When Graham Stein died, we had 7 churches. Today we have 16 churches. Hallelujah. You know, what I'm trying to say is the church moves forward. God is at work. Because he said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's what is happening. And not only that, you know, they were courageous. You know, they took them out and they said, okay, now we'll let you go. We'll let you go. But please don't talk about Jesus. So what was their response? How can we stop talking about what we heard and what we experienced? We will talk about Jesus. They were forceful. They were firm. They were spontaneous. You know, no one could stop them from talking about Jesus because they experienced that. And so, you know, no power on earth could stop them. Faithful witnesses are forceful witnesses, and they are firm witnesses. I was traveling some time back from Nagpur to Jabalpur on the train. And as I was traveling, I had a call on my mobile. I took the phone, and as I was sitting there in the train, I was reading a book written by Oswald Chambers. So when I received the call, I put the book down, and I received the call. The man who sat next to me took that book and started flipping through the pages. As soon as I finished my phone, he put the book down. And then I took the book, started reading. In a few minutes time, he asked me, do you believe all that is said in this book? I said, yes, I believe. Then after a few seconds, he asked me, do you believe Jesus is God? I said, yes, I believe Jesus is God. Then after a few seconds, he asked me, do you believe Jesus is the only God? Now, you know, I thought, this is getting serious now. In these days, when you are sitting in traveling in India, you know, I thank God for BJP. I thank God for RSS, because they were the one they publicized the word missionary. Because of that, everyone knows if you say missionary, they understand who you are. We have no problem today. Those days when we say missionary, they don't understand. So we have to say Christian worker and whatever, you know, we are trying to say. But today you just say missionary, everybody understands. And they themselves, they are now producing more missionaries on their side to reconvert people. You know, they are doing a lot of help for us. Okay, so, you know, I do not know how to respond to this man. But immediately I said, yes, with wholeheartedly, I believe Jesus is the only God. And now the Spirit of God was dealing with me. Hey, now what are you going to say? This man had asked this question, and you do not know who he is and what is his faith is. So I prayed a prayer, Lord, let me share with him. Let me find out. So I asked him, do you believe on Jesus? And he said, yes. I was surprised. Then I did not want to spare him. Because today what I see is everybody believes on Jesus, one among the gods. There's no problem. When you say Jesus, you know, you put Buddha, Jesus, Shiva, no problem. But when you say Jesus is the only way, then there is problem. So I want to make sure. And so I asked, do you believe that Jesus is the only God? And he said, yes, not only I believe, I experience that he is the only God. I was so amazed. I didn't know. And I shook hands with him and said, may I know your name? He said, my name is Srinivas. Which, then what do we normally ask? Which church you go to, you know? That's what I asked him. He said, I don't go to any church. I just come to know Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. I experienced Jesus, and I have in a strange situation. Jesus revealed himself to me, and I know that Jesus is the only God. That's what he said. And this is the point that I'm making. He said, as I got out of my home this morning to get into this train, I prayed a prayer, Lord, give me an opportunity to exalt your name. That's what his prayer was. Any believer will have a spontaneous spirit within himself to talk about Jesus to somebody. You don't need to push people. You don't need to, you know, keep on coaxing people to tell about Jesus, because you experience the power of the resurrection, and you will continue to talk about Jesus to any situation, to anybody. And that's what I see that early disciples did. And with this I close. And we faithful witnesses are powerful, forceful witnesses, and they are firm witnesses. And as we are in this way, we all also to be the futuristic witnesses. Job have never heard of Jesus, but he says one thing. You know, today there are many songs that we sing. I'm happy that you did not sing any English song. No, everybody likes these English songs. I have no problem with that. But the thing is, we are not really understanding the words that we sing. You know, there is one song which says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and takes away. Do you know the song? He gives and takes away. And, you know, people really like that song. They, you know, in different churches that I have seen. But who said that when the time of difficulty, in the time of hopeless condition, when the children is gone, Job is saying, he blessed be the name of the Lord, he gives and he takes away. That is what Job is saying. He was not cringing, he was not crying, he was not really, you know, complaining to God, but rather he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. No Christians would say that, dare to say that, but we are singing that. But Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. I will see him. I will see him. All of us almost live like Job. We have never seen him. But we have a future hope that we will see him. Our own eyes will see our Redeemer. Hallelujah. We are all waiting for that. And we want to go to him, bringing people from all nations, all tribes, from all languages. And that is our future. That's our hope. And so, you know, I want to complete here by saying there are five Gospels. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the fifth one is you. Places that gospel cannot go, you can go. Offices that gospel cannot reach, you can reach. Families that no one can go, you can go. Wherever God has placed you, God is expecting you to be a powerful witness for Him. You know, sometimes we are very, very careful, very comfortable. We want to be politically right. All that is there. And in the midst of it, the question is, are we witnesses for Him? Just one last thought from this passage that is read. When Jesus came to that room, there were disciples who did not believe Him as a resurrected Lord. Right there are people who never believed. And in that kind of situation, Jesus is saying in verse 39, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. Touch me and see." You know, if you are not able to really be a witness, maybe you did not have the touch of the Lord in your life. The risen Lord is saying, "Touch me. You will get power. You will have the strength to share about me in every situation." Devendra Chaudhary is an Infosys officer who was from a Hindu background, and he says his experience with Lord Jesus Christ is that he every day hugs the Lord Jesus as he spent time in the morning. He says that when I was worshipping the idols, I did not have this experience. I did not have any close relationship with God that I was worshipping. But today, every day, I experience a personal touch of the Lord. That is what is needed, my dear brothers and sisters. And you and me can be a powerful, forceful, firm witnesses for Him. Shall we look to God in prayer?
Brother Wesley, we are so thankful for the wonderful words of Jesus Christ. We small church in America, we are sponsoring 5 missionaries. Out of them, 2 is from IEM. And we know that wherever we are scattering our money, the God is going to give a lot of fruits. We were the first church to go to Orisha and help the Christians who were in trouble. We are the first church in America, Gujarati church, Indian church, to go to Haiti and help the people who are victims. But this church is a very small church. Amen. And why it is growing? Because we have God dedicated people. And let me tell you one thing, brother, we are not serving for money. One penny is not spent from here to anybody's pocket,
but
for the Church of Jesus Christ. God bless. Apre uvathiye, ane pachi saheb thili prathna karavse, thili prathna bolini prabhu tano ashirvad magse. Let's stand together.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful time that you have given to us as community of God, as people bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as body of Christ, that we are able to come into your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we worshiped you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, that you heard our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you have brought into our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you, the reminder from your scripture. And Lord, we want to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we thank you for, Lord, that you have helped us in the past, Lord, to be useful, to be, Lord, to be investing in the lives of the people. And we thank you for all the way that we are able to, Lord, invest Lord, in the difficult circumstances of the people, Lord, we thank you for the way, Lord, that you helped us, oh Father. Lord, I pray that you will continue to make this church a powerful witness for you, oh Father. Lord, as we see that when you want to evangelize the whole world, you did not select hundreds of people. You have selected a very few people. And Lord, that you have made them powerful to send the gospel to the ends of the world. And Lord, in the same way, Lord, though this church is very small, you can make them so powerful, taking the gospel to the ends of the world. And Lord, that investing their lives, investing into their lives, oh Father, we pray that all the efforts that are put in there will be useful, oh Father. Every single penny that has been used for the spread of the gospel will be going to the nook and corners of the world. And Lord, that this church, Lord, will make a difference in the community, in the neighborhood. And Lord, we want to see that you will use this church, Lord, for the glory of your name, for the extension of your kingdom, oh Father. We thank you, we praise you, Lord, for the elders and the members of this church. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to meet everyone, oh Father. We pray, Lord, that you will be with the young and the old. We pray that every ministries of the church will be blessed, oh Father. And Lord, I pray that you will, Lord, fulfill your purpose for which that you have established this church, oh Father. We thank you, we praise you, that you have heard our prayers. Send us with your blessing, that we ask with thanksgiving in the precious name of your Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Prabhuni Bhutsikuli Pratna Prasata Sate Bolye, Vakash Manwara Bhav, Tamaru Naam Pavitra Banao, Tamaru Rajyao, Jamakashma, Tempru Tupar, Tamari Chapuri Thao, Divashni Mare Rotli, Asunyapa. જેમ અમારે ઋણનો માફ કરે છે તેમ તું ઋણનો માફ કરો અને પરીક્ષામાં કરો ઊંડાઈથી મળો કરો કેમ કે રાજ્ય તા પરાક્રમ તા મહિમા સર્વ કાળ સુધી તમારો હોજો આમેન આમેન.
May God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.